Social impact everywhere.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we have a very special guest with us. We have Alana Ben-Ari, and she is the founder of 21 Toys. And I love what 21 Toys does, and I do a lot of work with it in my part-time job, but I'm going to let Alana talk a little bit more about it. And I just want to first start with saying thank you for taking time to be on the podcast with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to pick your brain because I really want to understand more about 21 Toys, you know, the inception. But the first question I have is, you know, if you can just give your name and a little bit of a background about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Ooh, all right. So as you mentioned, my name is Alana Ben-Ari and I founded 21 Toys. I'm currently the CEO and lead designer. So the empathy toy, is a blindfolded wooden puzzle. So the high level premise of it is that one person is blindfolded. They're given a built pattern. They have to explain that pattern so that one or more people can replicate it. So that's like at its simplest form. It's used anywhere from ages 6 to CEO. We're in about almost 50 countries now. We're in a few thousand schools and offices, which is very exciting for a toy that teaches empathy. Who knew? The reason that I'm mentioning that is that some people don't know the history of the toy, which is that I originally designed it in university. So it is was originally designed, in fact, for the visually impaired community, specifically for children.
Wow.
And I'm an industrial designer, so that's my practice. And design actually starts with empathy. So I started with a meta project from day one. It's like, I'm going to build a toy that teaches empathy, specifically bridging the social and emotional gap between the visually impaired and sighted community. And the toy came to life once I started finding out a lot more about the navigational training that the visually impaired go through. They have these foundational, these three questions that they work for months or for a very long time to get to the heart at, which is, where am I, where am I going, and how do I get there? It's the foundations of navigation. And I decided to create a toy that took those sentiments, where am I going, how do I get there, but made it so that they could actually play it with their sighted classmates. So I ended up with this abstract wooden puzzle with different abstract shapes that have no name. And so I was testing it during the day with visually impaired students, and then a grade 4 classroom, in fact. And then I was at night testing it with sighted adults in my studio. And I discovered that they were having just as much difficulty with it, the sighted adults, as the students. But they were also having just as rich conversations around empathy and what empathy had to do with their work, with their personal relationships. And it was pretty amazing. And I think this speaks to the power of just play and toys in particular, that within 15 minutes of gameplay, you're getting into some pretty amazing insights that could take months or maybe, you know, a year to get to. We're able to get into those rich, deep discussions on what it is and then how to start applying those insights into your work. So I started calling myself a designer, I think like a year or two after graduating. That's how I felt I was entitled. I was allowed to call myself a designer. Same thing happened with entrepreneurship. So it took me about 2 years after starting 21 Toys to feel like, oh, am I an entrepreneur? So I was like, no, I'm just a designer building a business. I'm just making a business.
Yeah.
I really think I was allowed to call myself an entrepreneur. And so I think when we're talking about like social impactor, that's something that I definitely feel right now. We hear some pretty inspiring and incredible stories of how our toys are impacting schools. So anywhere from reducing bullying and conflict. And as part of a larger initiative around anti-racism, like we've seen some incredible results in schools that have had a reduction by like 85%.
Wow.
This is a school in Winnipeg. We ended up connecting with the mayor of Winnipeg around this larger initiative, and then he was able to give an honor on this program and to the school that used our toys for that. But we're also training cohorts of leaders in banks and in healthcare around empathy being a number one job skill. It's a skill that you need to develop to be an amazing employee, manager, boss. So while some people might get that, what that actually means is a whole other story. So I think I'm a year away from feeling like I can call myself a real social impactor. but I would say the history of how the toy was built has these really interesting milestones and pivots on surprises, like things that I didn't even anticipate. All the different rooms the toys would be in.
The one thing I noticed when I was a part of one of the workshops was that it's empathy. I believe empathy is, you know, one of the basic building blocks of just being a good human being. I think every person needs it. But what I liked about it is it was a varying takeaways from all age groups. Right? We had, you know, people mm-hmm. all the way to from 60 all the way to 20. And each age group had a different understanding of what that was, and they deployed empathy differently, but they had to work together as a team. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was such a unique way to use different lenses of empathy and bring them together. And it was fun, to be honest. It was so much fun.
And that's important. I think we're having like multiple discussions at once by bringing these toys into the room, because I get asked all the time, do business students? Because we're in a number of MBA, we're like embedded into MBA programs right now. Like mm-hmm. empathy and business is now being part of some curriculum.
Wow.
With being used with the toys. And we're being asked, okay, do business students, how different are they than like a kindergarten class or high school class or, you know, these big business leaders? And my answer is always like, we're human beings, and there's so many layers of complexity and backgrounds that we have that you can't just say, well, kindergarten students are better at this than business students because of this, this, and this. It really has to do with who you are as a human, how you communicate. I wouldn't say there's a right or a wrong way. Like, we aren't saying like you failed at empathy
if
you
play this toy.
But you'll get insights into, do you stop and listen? Do you ask questions? Do you lead? Do you follow? Do you both? Like, really, it's about learning how to speak multiple languages. That's the way that we like to talk about it. And I always like to say, when it comes to toys, there are these 21st century skills, and that's where the name 21 Toys comes from. It's really about teaching skills like innovation, creativity, collaboration, that like the experts are saying, and we now know, are the keys to the future. Those are the key skills for the future. But you can't teach those with a textbook. Like, you're not going to be like, here, read this chapter on innovation. Now you're going to be innovative. You know, you need hands-on experience. And for us, it's toys that are the new textbooks. And so much of that inspiration comes from we're not the first ones to say play is important and an important part of learning. But I do feel that we lost our way a little bit, where we did believe in play as a part of learning in kindergarten. And then by the time grade one showed up, we're like, okay, so you're done with that.
Yeah, you're an adult.
No matter how you learn, now we're going to do serious work. It's going to it's going to involve rubrics, memorization. We're going to test you. We're going to give you very clear. You got an A, B, C. Like, that is considered quite serious and measurable. Whereas this like soft skills, this fluffy add-ons, nice to haves, and including in that is play and the medium of using play and toys. And so what I'm excited about is that, you know, a CEO and a kindergarten student are using the exact same toy. They're both being blindfolded.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the same things. So that says so much about the power of play, really.
Yeah. And so I want to jump into a little bit about the business of it, you know, Business 21 Toys, but also your perspective on it. And the question I have is, do you believe social impact is an important part of business? And if so, why?
I do. Absolutely. We are a for-profit social purpose business. Mm. And so I know the binary. So like the two extreme ends for my end was like, well, either you start a business. And before I was even considering myself an entrepreneur, I just thought this group of people start businesses and they do it for money. And they work really hard to do it for money. If they want to do something good, then they have a not-for-profit. Mm. And then they're just looking at like impact, and then they're really held accountable. And there didn't seem to be this middle ground where you can build a business, you can do it in a respectful, thoughtful, community positive way. And I think those two extremes, either this like the idea that if you're running a not-for-profit, it has to be this massive sacrifice, and all of these compromises need to be made. I work in a co-working space with a lot of not-for-profits. There's some incredible organizations that could only exist as a not-for-profit.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the only model for building a business that is profitable and has impact. So we're one of a large, actually, collective of, I would say, like social enterprises around the world, and especially across Canada, that are committed to building a business that has their code of conduct and their core values and their ethics, and hold themselves accountable to it. At the same time, I am a first-time female founder who is bootstrapping a business that's mass-producing toys and selling them in the first few years just to schools. Now we're both in schools and also offices. But one of the things that was challenging at the beginning was what are the things we can do immediately, and what are the things that we can work towards. So I was very committed to us manufacturing locally. That was really, really important to me. Then after the first year manufacturing locally with our first production run of 100, I was like, well, this is not going to work at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Each toy set, like each individual set, would cost a few $100s to make. We worked with one of the best factories that we could find locally, and 20% of that first production run, we couldn't actually use those toy pieces. The quality just wasn't good enough, so they didn't have the machinery to get to that point. And then the nail in the coffin was, they said, okay, well, we can do it, but just don't ever order more than 100. It's like, okay, well, that's never going to work.
No.
We spent a lot of time and effort. We worked with multiple groups of engineering students at U of T. My background is industrial design, so I worked with them on exploring different materials, so cork and different machinery like CNC machines. And the conclusion was, no one is mass producing wooden toys in like here. And so what we ended up doing is we worked with Spin Master. So we won the Spin Master Innovation Fund within like 3 months. Of me starting the business, and they were so incredible at connecting us with an ethical manufacturer overseas. And so that's who we've been working with for years. It's a family-run 30-year-old business. They do incredible woodwork. They work with like IKEA and also a bit more high-end wood manufacturers. And what they build is furniture. So that to me was one of those, I wouldn't say compromises, but it helped lead the discussion. Around understanding, you know, there's so many levels to impact. So anything from how I treat my employees. Now I have, you know, a team of full-time employees, which is exciting. But there are, you know, layers to that. There's how you manufacture. Then there's the entire point of it, which is the physical product, not just the toys, but half our business is running workshops, as well as running training. So we train other facilitators, which you're aware of. To be able to use the toy internally. And so what is what rules do we go by in terms of what are the list of things that we will and will not do? Where are those compromises? But at the end of the day, it's, you know, how do we create the world's first global community of toy educators and facilitators? Getting that impact and actually even capturing that impact. So how do we collect those stories? There are so many factors to it. The only framework that I have right now is B Corp, so B Corp organizations or B Corp certification. I think that's a really great starting point. But I also think just having an internal framework is so important, because for someone who's building and bootstrapping their own business, there is a list of what we can do right now and what we will do later.
And it's funny, because the one thing I noticed though is that's the entrepreneur life cycle a little bit, is you have these set standards, and I did it too, and I was like, nope, never going to do anything about beyond this, and it's, as it slowly develops, things change. But the one thing that you've always dedicated to is staying true to your moral compass, your mission as an entrepreneur, right? And it was ethical, right? It was locally as a grand idea, but you found an ethical way to do it overseas, right? So there still was that component where you didn't let go of what was truly important to you, which was that ethical sourcing and that proper manufacturing. And that's the sign of a good entrepreneur, right? When we find entrepreneurs that do those kind of things.
It's extra important for us how we manufacture products. I mean, it says empathy toy. So it would be incredible. It would just be completely like not in line with why I even started this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's an ongoing challenge. Like we have a lot of, I'm learning a lot about just different factories and different ways of manufacturing. So it's like an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're happy about who we're working with currently.
So I want to jump into the last question, and it's really about your advice that you have for others, you know, listeners to this podcast, but also the community that you've built. And what's your advice then for others to begin building a social impact, or let's just say general impact, in their communities?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give potentially two conflicting pieces of feedback.
Okay, love it.
I like to work in, I like to say, because I'm a game designer, so it's kind of, imagine this seesaw. So it's about giving, making people just uncomfortable enough that they're laughing and that they're not angry with you. So that's how I design toys. But that's hopefully how I also provide advice. So I can say this is what I think, but also it might be the complete opposite. But yeah, I think for anyone that's starting out or thinking of starting a business, I would say, and I think people hear this a lot, which is just, absolutely doing something that you're passionate about is really, really important, but recognizing that sometimes that can be your fuel, but that can also get in your way. There's a lot of sacrifices. There's a lot of hard decisions that you're going to have to make. I think we're in a really exciting time right now where you can, it's a lot more accessible to start a business, but it's very difficult to sustain a business.
Yeah.
And so knowing why you're in it, knowing what your own criteria or framework for what success looks like is really important. So for me, I was talking about it for a really long time before I quit my job and ended up moving to, I tried to start it in Montreal, Helsinki, I was in London for a bit, and then pretty much the few dollars that I had saved up to take that risk, launching it within this program in Helsinki didn't work out. So I ended up in Toronto with, like, I don't know, less than $1,000 to my name, and crashed on my best friend's couch for the first 6 months, until I decided, do I really want to go for this? And then how am I going to go for it? But my story is a little strange. So I think it was like through a series of like escalating dares. So I just started telling people I was doing it. And then, and then knowing that if I was going to try it, I had to make it work. That worked really well for me. Yes. So I got a $1,200 artist grant. I paid for my prototypes and a website. And then I would break into, or volunteer, into education conferences in Toronto and around that area. So I would take a toy and I would leave it on a table and then walk away. And then walk by, but then I'm just, if people would swarm, so teachers, and they would say, whose is this? What is this? And I'd come over and be like, oh, haha, I've forgot that.
I was here the whole time.
Yeah. So that's how I started those conversations. So I think on one hand, if it's something you're passionate about and you think you're able to do and you have the resources, and that doesn't necessarily mean finances, but that means community. That means, for me, it meant couches. And that community support, then start as soon as possible, because no one is going to give you permission. You kind of have to give yourself permission. And at the same time, I would just say, especially if it's within, if you're trying to create, a positive social impact, there are a lot of ways that you can do that. And I would just be very open-minded when you're starting a business, that it's not going to look exactly like how you imagined, and just to be open to hearing from others, getting that feedback, talking immediately to who you think your users are, seeing what they just even they think about what you're presenting them, even if you just describe it in words, and then come back to them with something closer to a prototype and keep them involved in that conversation. But then at the exact same time that you're reaching out to as many people and getting their feedback, you should also know that at the end of the day, you're the only one that's going to really know if this is going to work. So it's kind of, they joke that with designers, but it's also with entrepreneurs, it's, you have to hold like that humility, curiosity, and empathy at the exact same time that you're holding, for lack of better words, an arrogance. Of, like, I know what they want. I know what this is going to look like. Cause you should expect that you're going to get a lot of people that say, that's super exciting. But with this look in their eyes, or they might just say it like, there's no way this is going to work.
Yeah.
And so just being prepared for that, is really important.
It's some of the best advice I got was that, even the people who say, you know, it's not going to work, there's a little bit of truth in probably what they said, because maybe the variation or prototype you have that time might not, but pivoting is really important, right? So take that comment, you know, with a little grain of salt and say, okay, maybe there's some truth in it, and pivot a bit. And once you do that, like you had talked about, you know, you pivoted left and right and you ended up in Toronto. And then after, you know, a couple times it did work, right? But it took that grit and determination to get to that point. And that's important.
And it definitely didn't stop past there. Once we got our first order, then finding a factory. Now our latest pivot is that, yeah, we're offering the toys to schools and offices, but yeah, running where I've got a team of, you know, 12 to 15 facilitators that we're sending on planes, trains, and automobiles around the world, running workshops on empathy and now actually running workshops on failure. So
I'm excited for that. The failure toy?
All about resilience. And
that's awesome.
So it is a very meta project. So yeah, I wrote a Medium post on how it turns out it's super hard to design a toy that teaches failure. So it took me about 3 years. But we're so excited that now it's ready for the world to start seeing it.
That's awesome. And where can people find information then on, you know, the failure toy and the empathy toy and everything you're doing with 21 Toys?
Yeah. So you can, in a number of ways, so on social media, we're just at 21 Toys, on Instagram. If you go on Facebook, Twitter, if you want to find our, go right to our website, you can write in 21toys.com. So the words, not the numbers. But honestly, I would say just Google empathy toy. So you'll find all the resources you want there, and it'll let you see more about all the different rooms that are in with the empathy toy, but you can also get on our fail list. So we have a fail list. Well, currently we're offering failure toy workshops, having the failure toy available to the public. We're hoping to do, at some point this year. So, we're hoping for people to sign up to that fail list. We'll be sending them, updates.
That is very exciting. I'm going to go do that right after this.
Yes.
That is amazing. Alana, you know, I just want to say thank you again, you know, for taking time to be here. I know it's only 20 minutes of time, but, you bring a huge wealth of knowledge in that, in the space that you're in, and just being, you know, a bootstrapped entrepreneur and also a women entrepreneur, you are, you know, embodying what incredible entrepreneurship really is. You really are. So I want to thank you, you know, first for giving me that knowledge, and also, again, taking time to be with me today.
Thank you so much. And a note on just the one thing on being a female entrepreneur. I've been very lucky that I've been able to bootstrap it through my own grit and all of the debts and all those. But I've actually been able to access a number of award loans. And one of them most recently is CEO. So if there's any people listening for social impactors, female majority-led companies, it's an incredible initiative that offers an interest-free five-year loan to entrepreneurs that are, you know, creating products or services that are making the world a better place. So I would highly encourage anyone to go there. It's not just about the funding and the money, although that is huge. It's actually about radically changing your perception of what generosity and what growth and scaling looks like with an incredible community of women behind you.
That's awesome. That's amazing. So, takeaway then is, sign up for the failure list, check out the empathy tool, and check out CEO.
Yes, awesome. Absolutely.